And let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30 for our Bible reading. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 1. Proverbs 30 and verse 1. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, his utterance. This man declared to Ithiel and Ucal, "Surely I am more stupid than any man, and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Or who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he reprove you, and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food you prescribe for me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Do not malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men." Amen, that will do, and may the Lord indeed bless his word to your hearts, and this first sermon of a new year, 2012. 17 years ago today was Sunday the 1st of January, 1995. I read from this same passage. I'm going to leave with you the same two verses that I left with the church then, although it's a complete new sermon. Because I think that these words are appropriate for the beginning of a new year. And it's verses 7 to 9. But just before we come to that, these are not the words of the well-known Solomon, but an unnamed man named Agur. The words of Agur, son of Jacob. We don't know who this man was. He's only mentioned here in this chapter of Proverbs. He's obviously a wise man, although he did not feel himself to be that. Because he says in verse 2, "Surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One." And that was a characteristic of a truly wise man. They were so humble that they just felt so insignificant and so inadequate. But he was a wise man, and he used different groups. If you read this chapter, verse 15 says, three things are never satisfied, four never say enough. Verse 18, three things are too wonderful for me, four I do not understand. Verse 21, under three things the earth trembles, under four it cannot bear up. Verse 24, four things are small on earth, but they are exceedingly wise. Verse 29, three things are stately in their tread, four are stately in their stride. He's used groups, and it's the only chapter in the Bible that really brings this out. And one has said that extolling the virtues of humility and an awareness of the human plight of being ignorant before the greatness of God and being content with the sphere into which God has placed us. And within these groups, he looks at relationships of interacting with other people. And in verse 10, he has the workplace in mind. Do not slander a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be held guilty. He has the family in mind in verse 11. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Verse 17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother. He's even the marriage bond in mind in verse 20. This is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong. No conscience after breaking the marriage bond. So these verses 7 to 9 stand out because they are the only prayer in the book of Proverbs. In the whole of the book of Proverbs, this is the only prayer to God from this man, Agur. And he says, two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the poor that is needful, or feed me with the food that is needful for me. Lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and profane the name of my God. Let's see three things in these verses. We can see the rest of his life, and we can see the requests he made and the reasons he had for making them. The rest of his life, because he says two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. So he's thinking of the years that's left, maybe not even years. The time. He's thinking of the time left of his life. What are those years, months maybe? But what's that time going to be before he dies? We don't know what age this man is. He may have lived for years. But this is his prayer. Deny them not to me before I die. I don't know when I'm going to die, but this is the prayer of the remainder of my life. This is how I want to live. This is my prayer to you, O God. And at this point of his life, whatever time of year it was that he prayed this prayer, he's thinking of the time between then and before he dies. This is what I want the rest of my life to be like. He has God on his mind. Two things I ask of you. He has death in mind. And that's always the most solemn of subjects, isn't it? And would keep you solemn and sober for the rest of your life, knowing that someday you're going to die. He has the time remaining of his life and the quality of that time. He's not going to live it for himself. He's not going to live it for the world. He's not going to eat, drink and be merry, which is the philosophy of the world. He's going to live it for God. Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. The word of God was dear to this man. In verses 5 and 6, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. God's word was dear to this man. Is it dear to you? I thank God for 2011. It was another year spent reading through the Bible. The little program that I follow. It takes me through the Bible. It takes me through the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms and the Gospels twice. That's the program that I follow. I started this morning again. Hope it's as dear to you as it is to me, as it was to this unknown man called Agur. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. So we see the rest of his life. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. None of us know when we'll die. Whether it will be this year. Or the year later. Or years to come. We don't know. But there's hardly a year passes that we're not at the funeral, or I have to conduct the funeral of someone in connection with the church. But we see the requests he made. What were these two things? Remove far from me falsehood and lying. So for the rest of his life, he wanted to be a man of truth. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. For the rest of his life, he wanted to overcome temptation. And for the rest of his life, he wanted to have a God-glorifying testimony. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. God's word, the reading of God's word regularly, daily, keeps you true. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Lest he rebuke you. He wanted to be a man of truth. Remove far from me. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And if God has removed our sins far from us in pardon, we should seek to remove them far from us in practice. Here's a man who wanted a truthful tongue in his head. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. He did not want to live a lie. He wanted to be true to God and his word. That's a good resolution to have, isn't it? He did not want to live his life sinfully or hypocritically, but truthfully before God. And you can see that these two things, these two desires of his, one of them is spiritual, and the other to be shown in a practical way. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. He wanted to live truthfully. And one has made the comment, having learned that God is marked by absolute truth, which can be trusted, it has created in his soul a holy hatred for anything and everything false. The more the truth of the word of God is known and enjoyed, the more the false and empty will be hated. Thus he is praying to be preserved from error and anything which would mislead him in his spiritual life. And here's a situation where he desired the middle ground. Give me neither poverty nor riches. I don't want to be poor. Neither do I want to be wealthy. Poverty breeds discontentment. Poverty breeds jealousy. When you see what others have, they're better off than you. Whereas riches breeds pride. Riches breeds a sense of self-sufficiency. I don't need God. Look what I have done. Look what I have accumulated. Look what I can enjoy. He did not want to be like that. And that's why for the rest of his life he wanted to be a man of truth. And for the rest of his life he wanted to overcome temptation. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be rich. Both states lead to temptation. Both states lead to unhappiness. Give me neither poverty nor riches. He was just happy with his daily bread. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. The rest of his life, the requests he made, the reasons he had. And really we've covered them. Lest I be fool and deny you and say, who is the Lord? And Job in chapter 21 paints a picture of those who have accumulated wealth and they find no need for God. Let me just read this passage. In chapter 21 verse 7. Why do the wicked live, reach old age, and grow mighty in power? Their offspring are established in their presence, and their descendants before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, and no rod of God is upon them. May they seem to be getting through life well. There's no ill health. There's nothing like that at all. Their bull breeds without fail. Their cow calves and does not miscarry. They send out their little boys like a flock, and their children dance. They sing to the tambourine and the lyre, and rejoice to the sound of the pipe. They spend their days in prosperity, and in peace they go down to Sheol. At the end of their days, they seem to die peacefully, with no problems at all. But this is what they've been saying throughout life. This is how they have been living their lives. They say to God, depart from us. They say to God, depart from us. We do not desire the knowledge of your ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit do we get if we pray to him? This is how people live their lives. They can be in wealth, and they can live in houses and have possessions that reflect that they're wealthy. But this is what they're saying to God, depart from us. I preached that verse from here a few years back, linking it up with that verse in Matthew 25, when the same people who have said to God, depart from us, God will say to them, depart from me. Depart from me, you cursed. into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So be very careful. You've started a new year. God has been gracious in bringing you to see the beginning of a new year, 2012. Whether we see the 31st of December is left with him. But maybe you're saying to God, depart from us. Depart from me. I don't need you. When on that great day of judgment he will say to you, depart from me, because you said to him throughout your life, you depart from me. How solemn is that? And here is a man in the Bible who wanted to avoid both extremes. Give me neither poverty, because then I might steal. I might break your laws by stealing. I'm not poor. Give me neither riches, lest I be fool and deny you. I don't want to steal from my fellow man because I'm so poor and be guilty before God and break the commandments, you shall not steal. And I don't want to be wealthy to deny you and say, who is the Lord? Lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. And so we can see that for the rest of his life he wanted to have a God-glorifying testimony. He did not want to profane the name of God. And you can see how Agur had a personal relationship with God. And these things should always be noted. Lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. My God. Martin Luther says, the essence of religion is in its personal pronouns. That's the very core of religion. It's not a general statement, and profane the name of God, but profane the name of my God. My God. Another has said that for sinful mortals to refer to the maker of the universe as my God is a privilege so great it sets the senses reeling. My God. I wonder, as you have begun 2012, do you have this relation with God, the maker of the universe? He's my God. I've started this year. He's my God. I'm going to church this morning because he is my God. Now, God in his providence has made some individuals more wealthy than others. He has made others poor, that they just eke out a living, that they get through, that they live from hand to mouth. Chapter 22 and verse 2 of Proverbs, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. And we cannot understand some people's circumstances. But one has said, and I'm in relation to that, it may please him to place us in a high condition, to entrust us with much riches, or to exercise us with the trials of poverty. Let them rather seek for grace to glorify him in either state, to pray for a single eye to his glory, that his will, not ours, may be done in us. Bishop Joseph Hall was a Puritan, and he said this, whatever God gives, I am both thankful and indifferent. so as while I am rich in estate, I may be poor in spirit. And while I am poor in estate, I may be rich in grace. This is the only prayer in the book of Proverbs. Are you willing to make it your prayer on this first morning of a new year? Matthew Henry says, Agur's prayer will ever be found a wise one, though seldom offered. But I wonder, will you be one to offer it? Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die, the rest of my life. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. For the rest of my life, I want to be a man of truth. I want to be a woman of truth. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? For the rest of my life, I want to overcome these temptations. Lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. For the rest of my life, I want to have a God-glorifying testimony. And I trust that we will all offer up this morning the only prayer in the book of Proverbs.